Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Hallelujah. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. Servant of God. And I just want to thank each and every one of you who took time out of your schedule and called in to join together and to explore the Word of God together. It's a beautiful thing. And I believe that God is pleased. We have days behind us, but we also have a lot of tough days before us. And it's always hard to be in a situation that you can't control or make a difference in the outcome of the issues in your life. But I think that that's the time that we began to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because we can't, and we began to trust more and more each day that he can. So our lesson tonight is hold on to the promises of God, because in his word he lets us know that help is on the way. We coming out of the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, the 22nd through the 33rd verse. We got to get our strength from the word of God when we're going through difficult times, when we are being tested and driven. So today I just ask you to hold on to the promises that God has given us, because help is on the way. I'm going to go ahead and play a song that I think is most appropriate for our lesson tonight. And then I'm going to allow someone, myself, to go to the throne of grace in prayer. And then we're going to come and explore the word of God together. Listen to the words of this song, because this is, you're going to see that it's appropriate for where our lives are today. Thank you.
He holds me while I ride.
Can't hear you. Not tonight, Lord.
I'm back, you guys. I'm so sorry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for prompting me when you came here. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. Thank you, Sister Joyce Brown. Were y'all able to hear the song?
Yes.
Okay. So your mic is open, darling. Would you like to pray? Oh, you was just letting me know. Yes, you was just letting me know.
I can actually pray.
Hallelujah.
I can pray. You hear me?
Oh, yeah, everybody can hear you.
Okay. God, we just come thank you, Lord God, for another night, oh God, another Wednesday night when we come together to break bread, oh God. God, we ask that you would open up the eyes of our understanding, that we would comprehend your word, oh God, and begin to walk out your word, oh God.
God, we know that your word declares that we should grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, we come to get a closer walk with you, Lord. And we pray for the coronavirus, Lord, that has hit our lands. Oh, God, we pray for every nation, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you said you called those things that be not as though they were. And we stand on your promises because we know in due time you will perform your work, oh, God. And, God, we just thank you, Lord God. We lift up Minister Diane as she break bread tonight, Lord God. And we just want you to feed us with your manna from on high. God, we want a closer walk with you. A closer walk, oh, God. We want more of Jesus and less of self, Lord, because we realize that we're living in perilous times. Oh, God, but you said you won't put on us no more than we could bear. And, Lord, you said your grace is sufficient no matter what we go through. And, God, I lift up families of those that have lost loved ones, oh, God, those that loved ones has went on. Oh, God, I ask that you would bind up broken hearts this season, Lord, that you would comfort minds, oh, God, that you would give peace to troubled mind. God, I ask that you would have your way in our lives, because truly we realize that we are your purchased possessions. We've been bought with a price, and it's the precious blood of Jesus. And for that, we thank you for sending your son to redeem us back to you. We magnify and glorify his name. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Minister Elyria Mackey. And the part that you guys didn't hear when the song went off, I was saying how appropriate that song is for what's going on in our lives today. You know, we are going through a storm, and the storm is driven by Corona. And the song let us know that, you know, God's got us. We have to just hold on. And the song was letting us know that. I thank you guys for trying to let me know that you guys couldn't hear early. And we stopped that problem quickly. I love you guys. All right. So many callers have called in since before the song. So I'm going to tell you the title of the lesson again. Hold on to the promises of God. Help is on the way. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. And we're coming out of the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, the 22nd to the 23rd verse. I pray that everyone had an opportunity to read the entire chapter of Matthew's, because you be able to follow the lesson more closely and you'll understand why Matthew's decided to write what he wrote in this particular chapter in the book of Matthew, and what God is speaking to us, because everything is written for us, for our good. So as always, we do a background, and tonight my background is going to just be a little talk about the promises of God and where we are right now. So I want you to know that we live in a broken world, and it became broken by sin, and unfortunately, the consequences of sin still remain. You know, back when, before there was sin, there was perfect. Everything was perfect. Then sin came in, and it messed everything up. And we were placed on death row. God decided to send his son. And because of the blood of Jesus, we were redeemed. We were bought. Jesus paid the price. He paid our bond. He got us out of there. And then he held court, and we became not guilty because of what he did for us. But a mighty God reserved. But you see, once sin entered, sin still is collecting the consequences of that sin. Jesus took away our sins. You see, we all will make it. I'm just coming to tell you tonight, one way or another, And the only way for us to do that is we place our faith in the one and only true and living God, the great I am, the greatest I am, and his name is Jesus. We are facing many trials and tribulations in our lives because of this world, and you got to remember that sin brought in debt, tribulations, adversities, pestilence, disease, sickness, heartache, pain, suffering. You have to know that it was because of sin, not God, sin. And you see, as we are facing the many trials and tribulations, we must realize that faith and fear cannot coexist. They can't coexist together. You know, either you have faith or you're walking in fear. You can't have faith in fear because fear knocks out faith. And if you have fear and want to call it faith, it just don't go together. You see, faith is described in Hebrews 11 and 1 as being certain of what you do not see. Always remember that. We don't know when it's going to end, how it's going to end, why it's going to end. But faith keeps us looking, knowing that there is an end. You see, it is the absolute belief that God is constantly working behind the scenes in every area of our lives, even when there is no tangible evidence to support the fact. You know, some people have given up because they haven't seen the evidence and they don't have the patience or the stamina to keep pressing. You see, on one hand, fear is simply stated as unbelief. Now watch this. I had to put this in there. Or weak belief. Fear could be weak belief. It can be solid, strong, forceful, but fear can be weak belief because sometimes we have faith, and because of our emotions and we're human, we become weak, and that's a time when our faith also become weak. You see, as unbelief gains the upper hand in your thoughts, I say in your thoughts now, fear take control of your emotions. You know, Satan can only play in our head, in our mind. You see, our daily deliverance from fear and worry is based on faith, which is the very opposite of unbelief. You either believe it or you don't. Yeah, I think I believe it, but whenever you put the but, you're not saying you believe it. Either God is going to bring you through or he's not. Either God is with you and for you or he's not. Either he's in control or he's not. God is in control, but. God can, but. You see, we need to understand that faith is not something that we can produce in ourselves. You need to know that faith is a gift, and you can find that in Ephesians 2nd chapter, the 8th through the 9th verse. And faithfulness is described as the fruit of the characteristic of that faith. If you have faith, you're going to be faithful, because faithfulness is described as a fruit or characteristic that is produced in our lives by the Holy Ghost. You know, in the book of Ephesians 5:22-23, to accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost came to indwell in you, and he brought the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness. He brought all of that in him. It's in you. It's in you. But they say, are you bearing the fruit? Are there any evidence that the Holy Ghost brought these fruits in your life? And if you're living by it, they will be seen, because they say we are known by our fruit. Do you have any evidence of the fruit of the Spirit living and operating in your life? Because if you have faith, you will become faithful. Faithful in what? Faithful in the things of God. You stop putting God on the back shelf. You stop only visiting him when you feel like, or when you think you have time. You use up all your time, then you say you're too busy for God. I got too much to do. I just don't have time. But you did everything else. And let me tell you, God is just watching, and it's not the biggest thing in the world, because God tell us, if you take care of my business, I'm going to take care of yours. God gave us enough time for him and us. And he gave y'all more time than he wanted to take for himself, because he understands life and relationships. God is not a dummy. You see, the Christian faith is a confident insurance in a God who loves us, who knows our thoughts, and who care about our deepest needs. God knows what you want. He knows what you need. He got it. But he wants you to come to him by faith. He wants you to operate in faith. You see, faith continues to grow as we study the Bible and learn the attitudes of his amazing character. Your faith ain't going to increase till you know who your maker is. Your faith, you can't trust somebody you don't know. You can't trust them fully. That's why some faith is weak, because they don't understand who their Savior is. They know of him, but they never took time to know him. See, you see, the more we learn about God, the more we can see him working in our lives, and the stronger our faith grows. You know, 2 Peter tells us we must grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. You see, the word of God is rich in promises for us to take hold of and claim for ourselves. When we face financial problems, you could go to Philippians 4:19 that tell us, and God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, if you believe it. If you are anxious about your decisions, you could go to Psalms 32:8, which reminds us that God will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. Do you make your decisions on your own, and then they mess up, then you want God to come and fix it up? And the scripture also say, I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. And if you're sick, you can remember Romans 5:3-8, which says, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And then if you hold on in your suffering, that perseverance is going to produce character. And character is when you do what's right when nobody's looking. And then if you hold on to that character, it's going to develop and strengthen your hope in the things of God. And hope does not put us ashamed, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, if you in life and someone turn against you, you can be comforted by the word of Romans 8 and 31. And it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, throughout life, we will continue to face various trials that would cause us fear. But God assures us that we can know a calm peace through every situation. Because in his word, he said, look, don't be anxious about nothing. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see, besides the fact that people are getting sick and infected by the virus, another thing that the virus is doing is messing with people's mental health. But we got to try to hold on to the peace of God through this crisis. Because situations like this have taken even the strongest people out and down. But God promised you peace that surpasses understanding in the midst of your storm, no matter what it is, no matter what the question is, God got the answer. Hallelujah. No matter what the need is, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and everything therein, everything belongs to God. But we got to trust him. And if we're going to expound on our word right now, get your Bibles, Matthew, the 14th chapter. We're going to start at the 22nd verse. And I ask you guys to read the 14th chapter of Matthew for your, you know, so that you could be right in the place. But when we look at the 14th chapter, when it opens up, it was talking about John the Baptist, and John the Baptist had been beheaded. You see, John the Baptist was a straight shooter, and John the Baptist, they had this man, and the man was gone with his brother's wife. And John the Baptist kept telling him about it, and the lady got mad. She wanted to get rid of John the Baptist. And at any cost. So John the Baptist had a big old the king gave himself a big old party. And his wife was there, and his wife's daughter was there, and he was drinking, and he liked the way the daughter looked. He liked the way she danced, and he told her if she danced, he would give her anything she wanted, and she did the dance, and her mother had instructed her to tell him that she wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter. Now, isn't that something? That's why John the Baptist became a great martyr, because he died for his belief and backing up what is right in accordance to God. So the girl danced. She asked for the head. When she asked for the head of John the Baptist, the king was a little upset. He wasn't intended to do that. He might have thought she wanted some gold or silver or whatever, but she wanted John the Baptist's head. But because he had said it, he had to do it. So she sent the guards. They took John the Baptist out of prison. They cut his head off, put it on a platter, and brought it to her. That's how the chapter opens. And then after that, they come and they tell Jesus, and, you know, John the Baptist, first of all, was Jesus' cousin. John the Baptist had baptized Jesus. Jesus realized that God had assigned John the Baptist to lead the way for him, for his coming, and to get the hearts and the minds of the people ready to receive him. So Jesus and him, you know, was all right. So they came to tell Jesus about it, but Jesus immediately, as he heard it, he went and began to preach and teach,
And he was teaching and preaching and preaching and teaching. And they had so many people out there. God, Jesus is a compassionate God. And he was compassionate for the people. And they had been out there so long. And Jesus said, it's now time for them to eat. And the disciples said, well, we ain't got enough food for all these people. Jesus said, tell me what you got. They had 5 little loaves of bread. It might be like biscuits or crackers or something. And they had 2 little fish. Might have been sardines. Because they said little. Well, they said 2 fishes and 5 loaves. One writer, I think, might have said 5, so many little fishes. But anyway, it was 2. I said, they're big. You know, we're not going to get stuck on the size. But it was 5 loaves and it was 2 fishes. So the disciples said, it's all we got. Jesus said, give me what you got. You know, whenever we deal with God, whatever we got in our hands, in our heart, in our mind, if we turn it over to God fully, he can make a little or a lot. Hallelujah. God has always been a multiplier. And sometimes he has to subtract. But they gave him the fish. He fed the people. It was 5,000 men. And the reason they say men, because women and children was never counted. So if you take the 5,000 men and you say if all of them had a wife, so that's 5,000 women, and each of them had 3 children, do the math. So he fed 5,000 men and several women and children. And then the amazing part, when he finished feeding them all, they had 12 baskets full left. Come on now, y'all. They didn't say he was short, over. That's why we know that God is the God of enoughness. And then what happened after that, the crowd got so big, and you remember, you know how it is even now, if they tell us that somebody's over there teaching or doing something and they're giving away food, you know the crowd is going to be large. People always want something. They're always looking for something that's free, really. And they say that, you know, if you wanna have a meeting and you want everybody to show up, make sure you have food. But God in Jesus in his ultimate wisdom, he was very concerned about their spiritual well being. But he teaches us to be concerned with others' physical well being. You go to a house to pray for somebody and you get there and they don't have anything to eat. You say your prayer and you leave and go home and go to sleep. It's not the way to do it. Be mindful. Everything in the Bible has a purpose, and God is telling you something. So if we look at the scriptures, I'm going to start at 22, and I'm going to read all the way to just 22 and 23. And it says, and straightway, okay, he had finished feeding the people. The people had followed him. He sent the disciples on a ship to go on the other side. He stayed where he was, sent the multitude home, went into the mountain to pray. This shows us that God, Jesus, even being the Son of God, wanted solitude with his Father. He went in a mountain to pray. And if God needs to take time and separate himself from the things going on around him and pray, if Jesus does that, what you think about you? So now Jesus has sent the men in a boat to the other side. He's in a mountain praying. So that's where we're at right now. In verse 22, it says, and straightway Jesus contained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He, you know, was there alone. That's what I say, he did that. And if we get to 24, but this is what happened. The ship is gone, the boat, and they make emphasis that it was a rented boat in one of the Gospels. The boat is gone with the disciples. Jesus went up to the mountain free. He comes down. The boat is in the water. They're in the midst of the sea. And 24 say, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, the fourth watch is between 3 and 6 a.m. You know how they be saying the first watch and the second watch? Well, a fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. But that's what time it was when Jesus came. And it was the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Jesus saw the boat in the water, and one of the Gospels said it was about 3 miles out in the water. And when Jesus came, he looked out there, he saw them. There was water separating him from them. Jesus just walked on the water, hallelujah. And 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, like they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good courage, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You see, the disciples had enrolled that boat for them 3 miles, and they were tired, and, you know, and they knew Jesus was on the other side, and they was probably wondering, how are you going to get to us on the other side? But they was obedient. He told them, go. They left. So Jesus come walking to them on in the water. They think it's a ghost. He tell them, be not afraid, it is me. Part of this was they was obedient. They did what God said, what Jesus told them to do. Are we obedient in the things that Jesus is telling us or asking us to do? You know, now is the time when we have more time on our hand than we ever had in our lives. Plenty of the things you would be doing is not open to do. Plenty of the places you would go to is not there to go to. And it's so amazing that yet people say they don't have time. And I know it's true because people are calling me, and I'm not saying it to say anything. I'm just saying the word of God because I understand. But, you know, they'll say, Sister Diane, I didn't get the chance to read the chapter this time, but I'm going to read it tomorrow or whatever. And, I mean, you don't have to explain that to me. And I'm not judging anybody about it. I'm only speaking the facts of the word of God. It's a fact that we have more time on our hands. It's a fact that we have more time on our hands. And even with all of the time that we have, Jesus himself, he had already fed 5,000. He had been teaching. He took time. He went in the mountain and prayed to the Father. Then he came back down, and now he got to walk on the sea to go to the disciples because the wind was heavy, and then he died for us on the cross. And yet we don't have time. See, they say the wind was tossing all around, so it was probably hard for them to row. And then on 28, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee in the water. Y'all know a little bit about Peter. Peter was hot-headed. Peter was boisterous. They say he cussed a lot. He was stubborn. He was arrogant. But Peter was the spokesman for the disciples because he would talk up. But he wasn't always right. But he would always voice himself. Peter was the one who rebuked Jesus when Jesus told him, I have to leave. Peter was also the one who denied Jesus 3 times before he died. But one thing I could tell you about Peter, Peter messed up, but he always evidently got up, because Peter wrote two books in the Bible, 1st and 2nd Peter. And at the end of 2nd Peter, his last writing, it was right before he was going to be crucified on the cross for his belief in Jesus. So Peter became a martyr. God, don't worry. And then God doesn't let your past dictate your future. You see, Peter was all that, but by the end of 2 Peter, and that was the last writing of Peter, because after that, shortly after that, they was going to crucify him. But Peter had grown so much in grace, and he had obtained so much knowledge of God by that time, that when they got ready to crucify him on the cross, he gave Jesus so much honor and glory and respect and reverence that he didn't feel it would be justified. He couldn't justify to be hung on a cross straight up and down. He said, that's the way they crucify my Lord, and I'm not worthy. So he had them to crucify him upside down. That's growing. So wherever you are in your life right now, have nothing to do with where you're going to be. But how fast and how far you get there, it depends on you. Little in, little out. Much in, much out. When the lesson title was, hold on to the promises of God. First of all, if you don't know any of the promises of God, you have nothing to hold on to as far as this lesson is concerned. God inspired 40 men from all walks of life to write the word of God for us. Sometimes people will read a chapter in a book, or they might read three scriptures, and they figure, you know, God's got to get excited. And they feel good within themselves, and it is a good thing. I'm not taking away from that. But you're not reading the Bible for God. You're reading the Bible for you. If you never pick up a Bible, not another time in your life, God's going to remain being God. Your reading the Bible don't change God. And God can't love you no more than he loves you right now. That's the thing you got to understand about God. You know God loved you, because while we were sinners, he was loving on us. And then he let his son die for us. When Jesus died for a sinful world, everybody was in sin. He didn't wait till the world got right and then sent his son. While we were yet in sin, Jesus came to take us in. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. God can't love you no more than you love God can't love you no more than he loves you right now. The purpose of reading the Bible is for you to get the blessing of assurance to strengthen you when you're knocked down, strengthen you when you're going through, to strengthen you in your times of trouble, to strengthen you, hallelujah, it's for you. So they thought he was a ghost, and they did this. But when Peter asked him, Lord, talking about that Peter, he said, Lord, if thou be, I'm at 28, bid thee me to come into the water. And he said, this Jesus, y'all. He said, come on. Come on, Peter. Hey. And when Peter went down out the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, that was faith, huh? I'm talking about that disgusting Peter. Arrogant. Sail him out, Peter. None of the other disciples even thought to ask that. They might have didn't have a desire, but they didn't matter. They probably didn't have a desire to walk on water. They never thought of it, or they didn't think it was possible to even try to achieve it. And Peter walked out on that water, and he had enough faith, even though the winds and everything was cutting up. He probably figured, if I could get to Jesus, everything gonna be all right.
He might have thought it was safer to try to get to Jesus than to stay on the boat. Hallelujah. He wanted to be in the near presence of God, of Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. And our last verse, 30 to 33, says, but when he saw the boisterous winds, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. I want y'all to know that this is the shortest prayer in the Bible. So you know that when them times when you don't feel like praying, you know when them times of life coming and you don't feel like doing nothing towards your own self, less than on God, just look up and say, Lord, save me. And that's a prayer. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto thee, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thy doubt? He said, you start walking when you doubt. What happened? But we know that when Peter began to walk in his faith, when the wind started blowing, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his concentration from the power of God. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, started paying attention to his surroundings and what was going on around him, he began to sink. And even though he began to sink, when he cried out to God, Lord, save me, Jesus stretched out his hand. And that's what Jesus is doing for us every time we call on the name of Jesus. Jesus is stretching out his hand to save us from this. And he saved us from that. He's saving us from the dangers that we see and the ones that we don't see. And Jesus is just taking care of us, and the provisions are being met on every side. Jesus saved me. So whatever you're going through, keep your eyes on the prize, which is Christ Jesus. I don't care how it look. I don't care how it tastes. I don't care how it smell. Hallelujah. Keep looking up to Jesus, because Jesus say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. If I be lifted up, I will take care of all of your needs according to my riches and glory. If I be lifted up, I will heal the land. If I be lifted up, don't take your eyes off of Jesus. And when they had come into the ship, Peter and Jesus, the wind ceased. Hallelujah. The waves behaved. You know, there's other scriptures in the Bible when they was in a boat and the boat was going and doing all kind of things and the disciples was mad. They was in their sleep. Jesus was sleeping. They was in a boat and the boat was getting all rocky and stuff, and they got fear for Jesus laying down sleeping, and they came woke Jesus up. Jesus said, man, don't you know if I'm on the boat? Hey, y'all, don't y'all know if God is on the boat with you, everything going to be all right? Jesus just got up out of sleep, said, peace be still, and I bet he went back to sleep. We got to realize, and don't panic till it gets time. If God is a little distance away from you, or you feel like he is, tell him, Lord, save me. And you see, like he did for Peter, he's going to stretch out his hand. And then whenever God is with you and you pray it up and all that, remember that God is on you. And if he's there, it's going to be all right. They woke Jesus up, and Jesus said, peace be still, and even the waters behave. And when they did this, the last verse, they say, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, truth, thou art the Son of God. You see, at this time when Jesus was teaching and preaching, and plenty of times he was doing it in parables, you know, he was showing everybody, giving people evidence of who he was so that they would believe. God didn't just want to tell you something and expect you to believe it. He's constantly giving us evidence. If he ever healed you, you know he's a healer. If he ever delivered you, you know he's a deliverer. If you ever received help in a time of trouble, you know he's a helper. If you was ever disrupted or grieving and you got peace, you know he's a peace. He gives you peace. Come on, y'all. See, all of that is the evidence. And this was evidence for them. And Jesus had showed them three miracles right quick. Jesus walked on the water. Peter walked on the water if it just was for a short time. And Jesus calmed the sea. Three miracles right then, right swift in a hurry. And before that, he had fed the 5,000 with the little fish and bread. And if you really did read the entire chapter, it comes to where Jesus leaves there. When they get on the other side, he goes to a little city called Gennesaret. And when he gets there, evidently they had heard about when Jesus healed the woman who had the issue of blood when she touched the hem of his garment. So all of these people in town was ready. And they said if they could just touch the hem of his garment. And the last verse in the chapter said, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That's our lesson for tonight. Hold on to the promises of God, because help is on the way. And in that very second sentence, I say we all going to make it one way or another. I'm not going to tell you that everybody on this line going to live because you're taking time to spend with God. That everybody on this line, because of that and because of your faith, that you're going to live through coronavirus. When I talked about sin and its consequences, that is one of them. So all of us have an appointed time to die. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know why. It's because of that same nasty sin. Sin brought death into the world and is still collecting its consequences. So we're going to trust God with that, because if we are saved and we are truly saved, then we will see our Father and his Son in eternity and live there forever with them. And they say over there, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard what God has in store for his people. Hallelujah. And everybody ready, everybody want to see, but ain't nobody ready to die. But when we do, if we die in Christ, we receive all of God's blessings. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone have a comment, anyone want to say anything, you can press the one button on your phone. I can open your mic. Anybody want to give encouragement? If anybody want to pray to lead us out tonight, you could press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 504-430. Your mic is open.
Yes, Sister Diane, thank you again for giving us the word of God, for being his servant. But I want to also say this to some listeners who might be missing church right now. They can't go to their regular service. I would just like to invite them not only to tune in every Wednesday night at 8:30 to Block Talk Radio, but to also tune in 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday, at 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noon, and 6 o'clock in the evening. That number is 720-650-3030. And your code would be 2153-2153. Hallelujah. We are in service like you wouldn't believe. We have service. We praise the Lord. We give him the glory. Join in. We have some wonderful singers on this program. We get the word of God every day. We hear the prayers. So for those of you who are looking for and missing your every Sunday, everyday church, tune into church. Tune into it 7 days a week. Thank you, Minister Diane. God bless you. I love you, and I pray for you.
Thank you so much, Sister Brown, and thank you for being our advertiser. That was a great commercial, and I thank you. Sister Brown is talking about a program that we have 7 days a week. We pray at 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock p.m., 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, 6 p.m. at night, and we do a Bible study at 12 o'clock every day. And sometimes we have four sessions a day, 7 days a week. So if anybody would like that information, you could call me if you didn't get all of the information that she passed on. My number is 504-289-9501. And we do have several callers on this session right now that calls in daily to the Bible study and the prayer line. You know, they say that this is the time all we could do is pray. They say that with their mouth. But faith without works is dead. So we go to the throne of grace daily, and everybody is welcome. Hallelujah. Everyone is welcome. Everyone. So if that's all for tonight, I'm going to leave you with a benediction. And I'm going to use Peter, the second chapter, the third verse. Third chapter, 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 18, where he tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I could take this from Peter because Peter had seen the evidence and the change in his life by growing in grace and studying the word of God. He knew where it had brought him from. You got to have a testimony to say, what is the word of God doing in your life? How has it strengthened you? How has it developed you? If you're the same way you always were, Paul in the Bible say, then all of your teaching has been in vain. That's our lesson for the night. For the night, God loves you, and so do I. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next Wednesday. And anyone would like to join us for the other sessions, my number is 504-289-9501. Be blessed, and thank you.